May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. It really is good news. It's Christmas, and Christmas is all about Jesus. Yeah, we had some budding theologians here already. Yeah. It is about Jesus. 5-year-old boy was showing his Christmas presents to his grandmother, and when she asked, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" Whoever gets everything they want, right? The little fellow thought for a moment, and then he answered this way. He said, "No, I didn't, Grandma, but it's okay. It wasn't my birthday." Yeah, that's right. It was Jesus' birthday, and his birth brought everlasting goodness into our lives. You know, we're inundated with bad news. We're talking about good news tonight, but we're inundated with bad news, aren't we? You turn on the TV news, you read it on your phone, or you get a paper if you're old like me, you know, you get a paper still, right? And what will you find? Bad news 24/7. Bad news. The pandemic. Here we go again, right? The pandemic. Rising crime rate. Inflation. What's the gas prices now, right? How high can they go? Political turmoil. The Russians are ready to invade the Ukraine. The Chinese are ready to invade Taiwan. There's political news that is distressing. There's tornadoes. Mayfield, Kentucky. Oh, terrible. Earthquakes, flooding, fires. And then there's bad news that comes to us personally. Student stress, job difficulties, accidents, diseases, too little money, relationship problems, parenting distress, disputes with neighbors, you name it. There's all kinds of bad news out there. And then on top of it all, there's this fake good news, fake phony good news. You know what I've been receiving on my phone? Messages that go like this. You have been selected. I mean, they're from legitimate companies, Best Buy, Amazon. They love me. And then there are those that say, "You are a winner. Me, I'm a winner." Right? And what am I selected for? Well, you've been selected. Supposedly, I've been selected to win a new iPhone. Okay, I use an Android, but I'll take it. Right? Or a 65-inch Samsung television. Yes, that's 20 inches bigger than mine right now, so that's good. And I've also been selected to get an Apple computer, right? A laptop. All right, I like it, you know? Access these messages, and what are you going to find? You're a winner, or you have been selected because they have deemed you to be so naive and so dim-witted that you will fall for this ad scam. This is only a few degrees better than being taken in by that Nigerian who has millions of dollars in which he wants you to bring over to this country, and of course, I get a big part of it, right? A big part of it. But, oh, by the way, I need your banking account routing number. This is fake good news. But even intelligent people can be targets for fake good news. Relying on their smarts and science, they are led away from Jesus and genuine good news. How so? Well, God created science so that we would see the wonderful things he created and acknowledge him and worship him. And yet, what happens? They use that same science to reject the whole idea that even exists. Why don't we acknowledge him? I think the difference is between a keeper of an aquarium and the fish in the aquarium. People who don't believe think they're the keeper of the aquarium when they're only the fish, right? In their arrogance and ignorance, they're going to miss the really good news. Christmas is about genuine good news. me repeat that. Genuine good news. Just like it said in our gospel lesson. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord, and we know His name is Jesus. So the first thing to know about the Christmas story is that it is factual, that it is historical. Of all the gospel writers, Luke is the most historical. He's the most like a historian. In Luke chapter 2, he begins by mentioning Caesar Augustus, Augustus Caesar, however. He was born, Augustus was, in 63 BC. He was the nephew and the ultimate heir of Julius Caesar. He reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD. Octavian was his given name. By taking the name Caesar Augustus, he made Caesar a title for ruler, king, emperor. Now, why do I even tell you all this? And I've got more to tell you. Jesus is anchored in history. Now, Augustus, who ruled the Roman Empire when it was at its greatest, considered himself to be a god and a savior. He had coinage in which that was right there on the coins. Augustus, savior of the world. He ruled with pomp and worldly power and great legions. But it only took Luke 7 short verses to contrast Caesar with the true savior of the world, Jesus. Jesus came into the world, into our aquarium, because we're the fish, right? He came in our world humbly with little notice. He wouldn't force no one to be a part of his kingdom. And yet Jesus would turn the world upside down and bring light into a dark world, bring truth and good news. So what is the good news? There are four parts to it. The good news is, part one, that God loves you and He's intent on saving you. Saving you from what, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Saving you from three things. First, He came to save you from the wrath to come. The wrath that God will bring upon the earth. You know, well, this is Christmas, Pastor. Why do you have to get so heavy? But it's in the Scripture everywhere. There's a wrath coming. And the wrath is Judgment Day, when people will be divided. God wants all people not to be on the side of His wrath, on the side of His grace. But that's not going to happen. So there is a wrath coming, a judgment, a dividing of the sheep and the goats. Secondly, He saves us from our sins. Whether you know it or not, if your sins are not dealt with, it is gradually but surely destroying you. And it'll bring you all the way down to what we call the second death. Not just your physical death, but the second death, which is damnation. God wants to save you from that. That's why He sent Jesus. He wants to save you from something that is actually destroying your body, if not dealt with, the true you. And finally, three, He came to save you from the grip of Satan, your true enemy, the nullifier of everything that is good and right in this world, the one who deceives people, deceives them and carries them along the wrong way. The good news is your Heavenly Father wants to redeem you, restore you, bring you to heaven. Part two, the good news is that you fall into God's plan in your own unique way. You've heard this said, God has a plan for your life. He does. He does have a plan. I recently have read a book entitled The Splendid and the Vile. It's about Churchill's England during the Blitz when the Nazis were bombing London incessantly. Approximately 800,000 children were evacuated to the countryside. As the children were loaded to the trains, someone asked a young boy, "Where are you going?" The child was hesitant a moment and then said, "I don't know, but the king knows." The King of England, of course. But we know what? God knows through the twists and turns of our life. He knows where we're headed. In fact, He's guiding us to where we're headed. He did not let us go. God knows. He has a plan for your life. Part three. You need to respond to this good news. You need to receive it, embrace it. You need to believe it. You need to be moved by it. Clovis Chapel used to tell this story about the shepherds. The shepherds who heard the proclamation of the angels and the good news that Jesus was to be born. But this one shepherd did not go to Bethlehem to see for himself. Decades later, he has his grandson on his knees. And the shepherd told the child the stirring story of seeing the angels and hearing about a birth, the birth of a Savior. "What did you do when you heard the good news? Was it true? Was the Christ child really born?" The old man replied with sadness as he bowed his head, "I never knew. Some say it was true. Some say it was a dream. I didn't take the trouble to go and see." Millions of people are in that same place. Christianity poses the most important questions of our life. Is there an afterlife? Is there a God? Is it true about Jesus? And people won't investigate it. People won't look at it and think about it. If you're going to think about anything, think about the things that deal with your ultimate destination in life, the ultimate truths in life. You know, for years I teach adult inquiry class, and I wonder why it takes some people so long to really grapple with the truths of Christianity. Let that not be you. Investigate it. See what it means. See what it means for you. I think it's this way. God wraps up Jesus in a Christmas gift, puts your name on the box, puts it under the tree. It's already yours. But it's not yours yet. The gift of Jesus doesn't do us any good until we receive it, until we open it, until we enjoy it in its fullest. The good news of Christmas is only good if you receive it. Part four. God has this plan of how we will use this good news. He wants us to share it. He wants you to give it away. Young man couldn't get home for Christmas, so he sent his dad an inexpensive gift, a case for his cell phone. Along with the gift, he sent this little note. "Dear Dad, this is not much, but this is all you could afford." Yeah. Now change this story. God in Jesus gives us the costliest gift that could be given. It's called grace, God's love. It is of inestimable worth. It is a treasure. And what God wants back is to you acknowledge Him, worship Him, and then give away the grace He's given to you. He wants you to forgive, help, and love others the way He has forgiven, loved, and helped you. That's what he wants you to do. Listen, that baby grew up to be your friend. He grew up to be a man. He went to the cross. Yes, he rose from the cross, rose from the grave. You really need to get to know him. You really need to receive what he has offered. And then you need to give it away. I don't want you to miss the real good news. The news is like a light that dispels darkness. Wherever it's spoken of, and wherever it's believed, wherever it's announced, it's taking the darkness and pushing it away. Let people see what is really good. There'll be nothing fake about it. It'll be the genuine good news. So my prayer for you tonight, on this very special night, that you'll receive God's gift of eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I guarantee you, you'll never find any news or any gift better than that one. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. Would you rise and join with me, if you will, and recite this Christmas Creed? We do it together.